Welcome to The Liberated Life, the podcast for women who are done pretending that they have it all figured out and are ready to live with more freedom, clarity, and courage. I'm Lucy Maeve, your guide on a journey through the unspoken parts of healing, desire, and self-discovery. This is a place to be seen, heard, and held, where we embrace all the complexities and contradictions of being fully alive. No masks, no shortcuts, just the real work and real liberation. Hello, my darling. It's so beautiful to be back here, and I'm actually a little bit nervous about this episode. I feel like it's a vulnerable one, and one that has been on my heart for a little while, and I had a call yesterday that made me feel like, okay, now is the time for me to share this side of the story. It's always interesting running an online business because you kind of choose and curate which parts of your life you share, obviously. And then increasingly I find the universe nudges me to be like, you have to share this piece now. So yeah, here we are. And today, on this subject of vulnerability, I want to talk about quite a tender period of my life. And it was the period of my life, in all honesty, up until the age of 33. I'd say there was kind of like a 3-year period before then where it felt a little bit different, but we'll take up until 33 as a proxy. And those were the years of my life where I was perpetually single, and I had never really had a real relationship with a man. I had a few boyfriends. When I say a few, two. One of them lasted for like 3 months. The other one lasted for about 9 months. So I had never got past the year line with anyone. And this pattern had like kind of gone all the way through my life. Like, I remember when I was at school, all of my friends were like having their first boyfriends and like, you know, like sleeping with people for the first time and like all of that stuff. And I was always the one on the side of the like dance floor at the disco on my own and feeling like an idiot. And I remember at school, like all my friends were like, yeah, but you'll probably be the first one to get married, you know, like what kids say. And I kind of believed that, and I bought into it for a period. I was like, yeah, when I go to uni, like everything will change when I go to uni, because, you know, I don't know, uni is like this melting pot of relationships. I have no idea what I believed. But yeah, I really hooked onto that. But the truth was that I got to uni and I got all the way through uni without meeting anyone, without getting into a relationship that lasted more than a couple of months. And then I thought, okay, well, maybe when I go to work, like obviously when I go to work, then there'll be like men that can properly meet me. And maybe I'm just intimidating. And, you know, I told myself all these stories about like, it was because I was clever and it was because I was successful. And like, I intimidated men and I just needed to meet men that were like, could meet me in my intellect or whatever. And so it will change when I start work. And then I got into work and it didn't change. And it didn't change for all of my 20s, bar the couple of situations that I mentioned previously and a plethora of emotionally and otherwise unavailable men that kind of peppered their way through my 20s. And it's easy to kind of make light of that period of my life now because I'm in a very different place personally, but it was actually a really, really incredibly painful time for me. And it was painful for a number of reasons. There was a part of me that really felt hugely like I had been left behind by everyone. Like that somehow life had forgotten me and that I had like not been given some gene that everyone else had that meant that like men were attracted to them. I felt like I wasn't part of a club that everyone else was a part of. I felt othered. I felt different. And in all honesty, I felt really ashamed. I felt really ashamed at every single time I went on a date with someone and then they ghosted me. I felt ashamed when like yet another unavailable person would appear. I felt ashamed when like I'd go on a few dates with someone and then they'd say they didn't want to take it any further. I just felt like there is something fundamentally not okay with me. And so I decided to basically not date anymore. And this wasn't a conscious decision. It was basically like, I kind of, my subconscious just went like, this is really painful. I don't want to have to be the one that every single time I go to any kind of like family occasion or meeting up with old friends or whatever, people say like, so what's going on with men? And I'd be like, nothing. Like I just didn't want that anymore. So what I did was basically throw myself into work. And I decided, and I actually think I decided this really young. Like, I think I decided it at school when all my friends had boyfriends. I was like, okay, well, if they're all finding boyfriends, like, I'll just be the really smart one. Like, I'll be the one that gets really good grades and that will somehow make me feel worthy. Seeing as I can't seem to find anyone to love me, I'll just be successful. And I did that for a really long time. And I feel really tender sharing this. Like there's a part of me in my heart that is still connected to that pain in some ways of like really creating a very strong mask for myself that was a protection from this really tender part of me that felt like for some reason I am broken. I'm not even sure if broken is the right word. I think that's overused. For some reason, I'm like flawed or like there is something that is not quite right in me that means that I am always the single one. Like getting to 30 and being like, I have never managed to get a man to love me for more than like a few months, felt really, really tender. And it also felt incredibly frustrating to see people fall into relationships so easily when I was like struggling to get second dates. Then there was the whole phase from about 26 onwards where I was invited to, it was honestly like a cosmic joke from the universe. I don't know anyone that has been to as many weddings as I went to from the age of like 26 to 30. I went to a lot of weddings and every time, obviously, was on my own. And obviously with you, every wedding, there was also a hen do and there was a whole process of going to the hen do and me having to be there celebrating all of these people getting married and like having found the loves of their lives and me being like, I can't fucking get a second date. Like, this is so painful for me. And I held so much shame around it and it felt so unbelievably uncomfortable. And I didn't tell anyone. Like, I think I spoke to a few single friends about it at the time that were kind of in a similar space, but the depth of pain around it was so deep. Like, it was genuinely as if there was something fundamentally wrong with me. And I recognized, this is the like really painful part of it. I recognized like objectively that physically I was like a relatively attractive woman, wasn't like a supermodel, but was like, okay, I'm not like an unattractive person physically. I've been gifted with a body that kind of fits in with beauty standards. Like, I'm not unattractive. So I told myself, like, maybe I just have a shit personality. Like, maybe people just really like think I'm boring and like I'm just not fun to be around. Like, there's something wrong with my personality. So that further compounded the whole piece of like, I will just throw myself into work because if I throw myself into work, it's more in my control. I can like perform well here, get promoted here, have something to say for myself when people ask, what's going on in your life? I can be like, I'm flying to Tokyo for a work trip because I'm so important. When deep down there was this ache inside of me that was like, why is this not happening? And it's interesting because now I look back and I definitely had equated my own sense of self-worth with my relationship status. Like, I looked at people that were in relationships, regardless of the quality of that relationship. I didn't even think about the quality of the relationship. I was like, they have just been chosen by someone. So therefore they are like, they're higher on the pecking order of humans because they have someone that has chosen them. So I saw myself as like right on the bottom rung, and actually kind of just decided to take myself off that ladder and went on the career ladder instead. Because it was too painful for me to acknowledge that actually I really wanted to be in a relationship, but it wasn't happening. And I think often when there is like a deep desire, that actually there's just so much wounding around it and so much pain around it, what we tend to do is to just go like, that's not for me. I'm not going to even let myself want that thing because it feels too painful. So instead, I'm going to focus entirely on something else like work, where I'm far more in control and I can like bolster my ego through doing this other thing without ever like tiptoeing into what it is that we really want. And I will also say at this point that as I like tiptoe more in my work into talking a lot more about relationships and about wounding around relationships and attachment and all that stuff, I really want to preface all of this with something that is so core within me, which is like the golden egg is not the relationship here. And I recognize I've just shared a whole story of where I felt like the golden egg was the relationship, but I am so clear on this now. I never want to be the person that is saying to single people like, work with me and I'll get you a man, because it's really toxic and it's really, really, really unhelpful, because the crux of it is never really about the man, unfortunately. Like, we can desire a partnership, we can desire all of those things, beautiful, but it's not about that. And the more that we outsource our self-worth into relationship, the harder things get. So I just want to say that before we move on here. And the piece that I want to kind of wander into now on this ramble of being the girl that was never chosen, what was going on for me and what I didn't see at the time. So I didn't realize this at all. But in truth, I was completely emotionally unavailable to men. I laugh because I was always there being like, where are the emotionally available men? And it's like, Lucy, you are entirely emotionally unavailable. And what I mean by that, it wasn't that I was like ghosting people or like in a relationship cheating on my partner or any of those things. What I mean by that is that I was completely closed off to the prospect of connection. I didn't realize this, but I was. And it's really interesting because I used to sometimes, when I was working at JP Morgan, I had a friend of mine who I used to get coffee with every morning. And he sometimes said to me, he was like, Lucy, do you notice when we're going at coffee, like men looking at you? And I was like, what the hell are you talking about? No one ever looks at me. Like, I am unnoticeable. No man ever pays attention to me. Like, that just doesn't happen. And he was like, you're absolutely delusional. Like, there are a lot of people looking at you and you don't notice. And you know what's really interesting is that when we are really afraid of something, give you a little hint here, for me it was being in a relationship and actually being close to someone. I did not realize I was afraid of it, but I was. We will create a very clever protection mechanism inside of us that means that we never notice the thing that we think that we want because we're actually terrified of it. So our nervous system goes like, I'm actually not going to notice that anyone is in any way interested in me because that's actually far too terrifying. So it's way easier to filter my vision to be like, no one's ever interested in me. All I ever see is like other couples who are happy and I'm the lonely one. So I was protecting myself in many ways from ever seeing anyone who was potentially interested in me. That's the first layer to this. The second layer is that I could not open up. And it wasn't that I couldn't open up to other people. That was like a second step here. I couldn't even open up to myself. And the crux in being able to be in what I deem to be a healthy relationship, both romantic, platonic, with self, is our capacity to be honest and our capacity to be true to what is actually going on inside of us. Like, what is the actual truth of my experience right now? And as you just heard me say in the earlier part of this episode, I was telling myself a lie. I was telling myself the lie that I didn't want a relationship, that I was fine, that I was good, and I was just a work person. And I told myself that lie because it was safer. Safer to tell myself the lie than to sit in the desire and to feel really, really, really uncomfortable with the pain of not having it. Now, I want to talk a little bit about why we build up these protection mechanisms. And this can come from like a multitude of different things in life. There's obviously a lot that's spoken about in terms of childhood, and a lot of the work that I do with people often ends up talking about childhood, but it can come from a lot of different experiences in life. But the crux of it is that the most tender part of us, the part of us that's like so innocent and beautiful and like able to connect to the heart and be open and loving and true, that part of us sometimes at some point in our life gets wounded. So she has a really open heart. She's really loving. She's like, you know, bright eyed and innocent and pure. And I can't think of a better way to say this, but that part of her gets shat on by someone or something. Maybe it's in childhood that we get shut down somehow. Maybe the love that we receive isn't what that little version of us needed. Maybe someone leaves. Maybe we have a really painful breakup at some point. And the pain of those experiences is too much for our system to cope with. And in order to protect from that ever happening again, we create a little protector that comes in and protects that part of us that's in so much pain and says, I'm never going to let that part of us be touched again. So we harden and we become hyper-independent and we become like performative in relationships, performative in dating. People, once I went on a date and this guy said to me, he was like, kind of feels like I'm in an interview. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I do work in sales in a bank. I am treating you like a client rather than connecting with you as a human being, because I was relating to him through my protector, through this part of me that was like, I will be shiny and impressive and strong and independent and you will love this part of me, but you are never getting access to the true tender version of me, because that part of me is so afraid of being hurt again, so afraid of ever being seen, that she's like buried way, 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 way down. And this protector has got like a sword and like a huge shield and multiple passwords to get through in order to get anywhere near to that true version of me. And a lot of people get into relationships through protectors, like connecting with someone else's protector. But I don't think that those are the relationships that are fundamentally satisfying. And I think that so many of us, what we really yearn for is a connection with the true essence of us, which is that tender part underneath. And so what I wish I had known for all of those years in my 20s, and to a certain degree in the very early years of my 30s too, I wish that someone had turned around to me, and I worked with multiple therapists, just to say, I wish that someone had turned around to me and been like, you know why you're single, Lucy? It has nothing to do with the fact that you like need to go on more dates or anything else. It's that you're shit scared. You're shit scared. And that's okay that you're shit scared. But maybe it's time for us to do some work around this part of you that is completely closed off and has hardened. Because that's not the truth of who you are. And that is the work that we need to do. And this isn't just for those of us who have been single for a long time. It's like, this is the work for us to do as humans, to start to take down the armor and to start to recognize what is true underneath the armor, which is often this tender little girl inside who like is bright-eyed and innocent and sees the world through the lens of wonder and awe. So I want you to know this, if you are in that space of never having had a relationship or being in a space where you feel relationally slightly behind, broken, invisible, any of the above. First of all, I want you to know that you're not alone. You're not alone. And I also want you to know that it does not mean anything about your worth. We live in a society which is so obsessed with relationships and with like marriage and children and da, 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 and all that stuff. And like, it is very easy to fall down the slippery slope of feeling that you're somehow less than because you don't have that. Your worth is not linked to your relationship status. Your worth is not linked to your relationship status. Because the truth is, all of this work that I'm talking about, yes, it has a huge impact on our capacity to connect with other people, both in a platonic way and in a romantic way. But the real crux of this is coming into right relationship with ourselves. And I know that sounds a bit wanky and a bit bullshit, but it's true. Because if you're in relationship with someone through the lens of your protector, you're not really in relationship with them. It's almost like you have them at arm's length because you're talking to them through the lens of your protector. So we have to come into our relationship with our own protector to allow it to soften so that we can actually be in relationship with ourselves and with other people. I had no idea of the depth of like emotionality, power, depth, wisdom, any of the other stuff that sometimes people share with me that I have. I had no idea about any of that before I started doing this work because I saw myself through the lens of my own protector too. I saw myself as this career woman, this like hardened, hyper-independent, could do anything alone woman. I didn't have access to the deeper parts of me because my protectors were so strong that they didn't let me see them. But as I started to see them, and as they started to melt away, as I built relationship with them, the most magical stuff started happening. I started to feel actually connected to who I was. I made big shifts in my life, changed careers, made amazing new friends from the truth of who I was rather than from this veneer that I had been pretending to be for a long time because it made it feel easier to be single. And yes, at the end of that whole process, yes, I met my partner, but that is not the golden egg. It's not the golden egg. And I still feel to this day that my long-term vision for life is always about relationship to self. And this isn't some like ego trip of like, I'm amazing, I'm the best. It's all about my relationship with me. No, it's about being in relationship with self so we can be in relationship with other. And so we can be in right relationship with other. Not performing, not needing to be something for someone else. Not abandoning our own inner child. Because what I really want for you is for you to be able to show up in the world as the true essence of who you really are, in all of your power and your magic and your wonder and your creativity and your beauty and your magnetism. And all of that comes initially by building a right relationship with yourself. So I feel like this little piece of me is coming to completion now. And my hope with this episode is that you feel in some way heard, if you are in an experience like this right now. And if you're not, perhaps it's given you a different lens on relating and some more compassion for anyone in your life who is in the forever single camp. And I want you to know that if you are in this space and feeling like it's just who you are and there's nothing you can do, that's not the truth. And the relationship isn't the golden egg. But in doing this work, so much magic starts to unfold in your life. I cannot even begin to express. And sure, you're maybe more likely to be able to build a healthy relationship with the guy when he turns up in your life, which he will. And you maybe won't get the ick as easily. You won't push them away. You may notice them even. But it's not the golden egg. So with that, if you feel heard, felt, seen, I'd love to hear from you. I have a couple of spaces for one-on-one work opening up in the next few weeks. So if one of those spaces is for you, just send me a note and we can chat. Or if you're intrigued by anything else, also send me a note and we can have a chat, because I love hearing from you. And with that, my sweet love, I will close. I hope you have a beautiful rest of your day, whatever you're up to. And I'm sending you all the love in the world.